Joseph went to Pilate to beg for the body of the man that so many despise. It was a cold, still form they carried to the mountain, to the tomb where they laid him inside. Then the chief priest came to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember this deceiver said in 3 days he would rise." Pilate said, "Go to the tomb, make it sure as you can." But all the guards could not keep him inside. So when the stone was rolled away, the Rock of Ages walked out. The lily bloomed in all its glory so fair. At sunrise, the sun rose in victory and power. And one day we shall rise to meet him in the air. We hope not only in this life for certain, for Jesus said one day we'd live again. Now that's the hope that we cherish, though this body may perish. For with thy we shall rise to live with him. And when the stone was rolled away, the Rock of Ages walked out. The lily bloomed in all his glory so fair. At sunrise, the sun rose in victory and power. And one day we shall rise to meet him in the air. He arose, he arose. And one day we shall rise to meet him in the air.
Well, thank you, choir, and thank you, Brother Lassiter, for that song. I love that song, the choir saying, "It is finished." Thank God it is. Jesus didn't pay a down payment on redemption. He paid it all. It's finished. It's complete. Nothing else can be added to it. It can only be accepted or rejected by man. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Job, chapter 14. The book of Job, chapter 14. If you're a new Christian, that's in the Old Testament. The easiest way to find it is open it up to the center of your Bible, and you'll probably have the book of Psalms. Turn left. It's the book right before you get to the book of Psalms. It is believed that Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And in the oldest book in the Bible, there is a truth taught that we need to understand and get a hold of today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of all men and women is not something new. It's not a 19th or 20th century doctrine. It started in the oldest book of the Bible. It was the plan of God before the worlds were ever created. If you found the book of Job, chapter 14, would you stand with us and out of respect for the Word of God? And we shall read one verse together. If you haven't found it, just stand and look on with someone. In Job chapter 14 and verse 14, Job asks this question and then answers it. He says, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Then he says, "All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes." I want to use that first question in verse number 14 for the basis of our message this morning. If a man dies, shall he live again? Let's bow together in prayer and then the message. Every eye closed and every head bowed. Heavenly Father, we ask you today to speak to our hearts and help us to settle this important truth in our own heart, in our own mind. Help us to understand that the Bible does not leave us without teaching and without instruction on this subject. This is not something that is vaguely dealt with. The Bible is straightforward and declares plainly that man will live again after death occurs. Now, Lord Jesus, I need your help and wisdom as I bring this message today. Many of us have already been born again, and we believe what the Bible teaches about the resurrection. We believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. We believe that every soul one day will be resurrected and will have to stand before a holy, holy, holy God and give an account of our life here. Now, Lord, help us to listen on purpose and learn what the Bible teaches about this important subject. And we ask you today to speak to the heart, especially of those who don't know you as Savior. We ask you today, Father, to save every unsaved person that's listening to our voice. Settle this matter about their eternal destiny. And let them know for sure today that they can be saved. And help them, Father, to trust you and put their confidence in you. And then receive that wonderful gift called eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I thank you in advance for what you shall do in this service, for it's in Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. Job asked the question, if a man die, shall he live again? I suppose that everyone at some time or another ponders this great question in their mind. If a man dies, shall he live again? The scientist says that it is a biological impossibility for a person who has died and buried to be resurrected. The modern philosopher says that death ends all, that a person who dies ceases to be. Some of the cults would have you to believe that the grave is the end of all life. However, the Word of God declares plainly to all who'll hear that Jesus not only died and was buried, but after 3 days and three nights, he arose from the grave. And the Bible declares plainly, I'm a little loud. Would you cut me down some, please? The Bible declares plainly that every human being, though they may die, will be resurrected to stand at one of two judgments. Now, I'm satisfied to believe the Bible and to accept the answer that Job accepted. Job said, if a man dies, shall he live again? And then he said, all of the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. Job believed in the resurrection. And so do I. Now, for our message on this Easter Sunday morning, I want us to look at that statement, if a man die, shall he live again? And firstly, allow me to say, before anything else, that Jesus did. We're here in church this morning because there is a resurrection. That there was a resurrection of Jesus Christ after 3 days and three nights in that tomb. He came out of that tomb alive, though he died. He did not swoon on the cross. He did not faint. He did not pass out. He did not go into a coma. He died. And he was taken down from that cross, put in the grave. And right on time, after 3 days and three nights, up from the grave he arose, the songwriter wrote. 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, the Messiah, the promised one, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, came into this wicked and sinful world just like God had promised. He came as a man, though he was God. He came to be the last Adam, and he came to die for our sins. Where the first Adam sinned and plunged the whole world into sin, Jesus came to be tempted as a man. Yet without sin, he would go to that old rugged cross and die once for all time, that anyone, that whosoever believeth, could come to him and have everlasting life. He arose from the grave with victory for all who will believe. You know, I've often said and thought about Satan that day on Calvary when Jesus was crucified. I kind of think old Satan was saying, yeah, man, I've won. I've won. He watched Christ as he was beaten. He watched him as they nailed him to the cross. He watched him as they crowned him with thorns and mocked him. He watched Christ as they put the spear in his side, and he watched as he bowed his head and said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And the Bible says he gave up the ghost. He died. And old Satan must have said, yeah, I've won. And for 3 days and three nights, that body of Jesus was in the tomb. And Satan must have had a party. He and all of his demons must have been rejoicing, shouting. But early on Sunday morning, after 3 days and three nights, just as God had promised in the Old Testament, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so must Jesus be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Right on time, early on Sunday morning, up from the grave he arose. He arose in victory. He arose with free salvation for all who would trust him as Savior. That morning early, as Mary Magdalene approached the Lord's tomb, she was met by an angel that said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. You do understand, my dear friend, if Jesus had not come out of that grave after 3 days and three nights like the Bible prophesied, he would have not been God. He would have not been the Savior. He would not have been the Messiah. We would have had no hope. He would have been an ordinary man. You see, Jesus had to fulfill the prophecies of Scripture to the T. Not just part of them, not just some of them, but all of them. And let me tell you, here's a major prophecy that says Jesus is the Son of God. If he dies and after 3 days and three nights comes out of that grave alive, he is the one. He is God. He is the Savior. And right on time he arose. And again in Romans chapter 4 verse 25, we're told that Jesus was raised from the dead for the sinner's justification. That word justification means that in Christ, the sinner who believes in him is declared righteous. He is free of guilt and condemnation because that guilt and condemnation was put to Christ on the cross. And in his place, we're imputed the righteousness of Christ in that redeemed sinner. You know, the Bible says that if you're going to make an accusation or state a truth or be a witness, you need to have two or more witnesses before it can be considered. And I'm here to tell you there were witnesses of the resurrected Christ walking and ministering on this earth after his resurrection from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5 says that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. 1 Corinthians 15, 6, after that the Bible says he was seen of above 500 brethren at one time. It would seem to me 500 people that said, I saw him after he died and after he was buried and after he was in the grave 3 days and three nights. All 500 of them saw him. Seemed to me that would be irrefutable. 1 Corinthians 15, 7, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Verse 8 of chapter 15, he was seen of Paul. Luke chapter 24, he was seen of two witnesses on the Emmaus Road. Jesus meant it when he said, John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, as he spake to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, Jesus promised. And then he said, believest thou this? I'd hate to go through my life believing that this life is all there was. That when I die, there's nothing else but the grave. It's not what God teaches. That's not what Jesus teaches. And by the way, there's never been one person who's ever lived that had as many songs written about him, a book written about which he is the theme, churches established all over the world. There are congregations today celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. More poems, more songs have been written about him. The calendar's been affected by him. Holidays are established in his memory. Don't you think that Jesus was just an ordinary man? He was the God-man. He was the Savior, he was the Messiah, and he is the Savior and the Messiah for all who will believe upon him today. Though he died, he lives today and is at the right hand of the Father, waiting for you to call upon him and receive him as your Savior. And one day he's coming again to receive the saved. Yes, if a man dies, shall he live again? The first thing I want to emphasize is that Jesus did. Secondly, the scripture tells us that all the saved will live again. All the saved will live again. In our text, Job knew that he was saved and that he would live again after death. By the way, do you know you're saved? You're going to be miserable in this service today if you don't know you're saved. Because I'm going to tell you about what's waiting for you in the future without Jesus Christ. You will live again, but you'll live to judgment and condemnation. You can live in Christ to life everlasting with him in heaven. And I'm here to tell you that the Bible tells us that the saved will live again. Job said, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time, my life, will I wait till my change comes. He said, I'll live, I'll die, but there's a change coming. I'm not going to stay there. Resurrection. You see, what Job meant was that he would wait for the day of the resurrection when he'd be changed and he'd be given a new body. Job believed that even though his body would die and that he would live again, his dead body would be changed and resurrected. And he even uses illustrations as grass dies in the fall and the winter. In the spring it comes again and grows again. It lives again. And so man shall live again. Job tells us again in Job 19, verse 25 and 26, just a page over. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." He knew Jesus was coming back again. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body," he said, "after I die and this flesh decomposes, yet in my flesh I shall see God." He believed in the resurrection. May I say to you, that's just not an Old Testament teaching. That's a New Testament teaching. That's Bible doctrine. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul explains the resurrection and the victory that every Christian has in Jesus Christ in verse 51 through 57. Listen as I read it. Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." He's talking about bodies of Christians that have died. "But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And again, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and he explains what's going to happen to the saved at the first resurrection. He said, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," talking about those who have already died and are saved, "that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." That's the unsaved, no hope. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now notice this. The body's in the grave, asleep. But he said, Jesus is going to bring them with him when he comes. Now, you do understand that you're more than a body. You're a soul and a spirit living in a body. And when our body dies, it's put in the grave, but you don't die. You are eternal. You are forever. When a Christian dies, the moment of death, his body ceases to breathe. There's no more brain activity, no more breathing, no more heart activity. The body ceases to function. And at that moment, the soul and spirit depart the body to go and be with the Lord. And when Jesus comes back again, he'll bring them with him. And then listen to what he says. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Their body is going to be raised. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. If a man dies, shall he live again? Jesus did. And according to the Bible, every Christian will. But that's not all. The Word of God tells us plainly that every unsaved person will live again also. Don't you be foolish and think that the death of an unsaved person is the end and separation from God. Don't you think that he'll never have to face his sin or eternity, that death ends it all? No, 10,000 times no. Don't believe the lie of the modernists that the unsaved dead will remain in the grave forever. Again, no, 10,000 times no. Listen to the Word of God in Luke chapter 16, verse 22 through 26. There we have the account of a saved man. and an unsaved man, both of them died. And it came to pass that the beggar died. Verse 22, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's paradise. That's the place where the unsaved would go before the resurrection of Jesus. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongues, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil. But now Lazarus is comforted, but the rich man is tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now I want you to notice here, this is Jesus speaking. What I just read to you from Luke 16 was not written by a mere man. It was written by the Son of God, the Creator of all things, the God of heaven and earth, the Savior, the Messiah. And he is teaching about what happens when a lost person dies. This lost person was buried, but though his body was in the grave, he wasn't in the grave. You see, an unsaved person is a person with a soul, a dead spirit, and a body. And death ends life for the body. But you don't end. And you don't die. And the Bible says they buried this body, but the rich man was in hell, in torments. He thirsted. He felt. He prayed. He remembered. This doesn't sound like a man in the grave. Sounds like a man living again after he died, but he's living in his eternal existence in that place called hell. Where is that rich man today? He's still in hell, still tormented, still crying. You see, just as God prepares the saved with a new body fitted for eternity in heaven, God prepares the unsaved with a body fitted for everlasting judgment in fire and hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. 2,000 years cannot change the condition of a person in hell. Now turn, if you will, in your Bible to Revelation chapter 20. And just as the bosom of Abraham, or paradise, was the temporary abode of the saved awaiting the resurrection of Jesus, and he'd move paradise to heaven with him, hell is the temporary abode of the wicked awaiting the great white throne judgment, when the body and the soul and hell will all be judged and cast into the lake of fire. Listen to it from the Word of God. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. It's talking about Jesus. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And listen to verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here we're told in the scripture that the unsaved bodies of the unsaved dead will be resurrected. And body and soul, they'll stand before God and be judged out of the books. And then they'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. And you listen to me, my dear friends. I do not say this with joy. I say it with a broken heart. This is the only future you've got to look for if you die without accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior here in this life. There are no second chances for anyone. You must be born again while you're here in this life. Now, with the fact of that the resurrection is true, and both the saved and the unsaved will live again, my last point must be this. Where will you live again? Where will you live after this life is over? Will it be with God in heaven? Or will it be in hell and the lake of fire? There's no other places. Now the Bible tells us that there are two resurrections. Three, counting Jesus. Jesus was raised. He's the first fruits. Then the saved will be resurrected. That's the first resurrection. Then the unsaved will be resurrected. That's the second resurrection. And they take place 1,007 years apart. The saved will be resurrected prior, or at the coming of Christ, prior to the tribulation. We'll go to be with the Lord. The unsaved will be resurrected after the 1,000-year reign and after the 7 years of tribulation. And that's known as the Great White Throne Judgment or the second resurrection. Listen to the scripture, Revelation 20, beginning in verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now the first resurrection is made up of those that are resurrected at the rapture and those that are killed during that tribulation period that are saved. There'll be people saved during the tribulation. Listen to me. According to the Bible, nobody that hears the gospel in the church age is going to be saved during the tribulation period. They make up the first resurrection. Then 1,000 years passes while Jesus rules and reigns in the millennial kingdom on this earth. And at the end of that 1,000 years, there is the second resurrection. And I read to you that in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. They were cast into the lake of fire. And whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into that lake of fire. That's the resurrection of the unsaved. 1,007 years separate the two resurrections. Every person here listening to my voice will be in one of these two resurrections. And it's determined by what you do about Jesus Christ. You see, we're celebrating Easter today because it is the desire and the will of God that you not be in that second resurrection. It is the will of God that you be saved and have life everlasting. Now, you could not save yourself. You could not be good enough to go to heaven. You could not be religious enough. You could not do enough works to get to heaven. There's only one way a sinner could be saved. Someone without sin had to take their sin upon himself and be crucified, died, judged by God like a sinner would be judged in hell. And there was no one on the entire earth that could do that. And God said, "Son, I'm going to send you down there. And you're going to become a man. You're going to be born of a virgin. You're going to grow as a man, though you'll still be God. You'll be tempted in all points as man is tempted. But where man failed, you're not going to fail. Then without sin, they're going to arrest you and nail you to a cross. And I'm going to take all of the sin of the world and put upon you. And then on Calvary, I'm going to judge you like I judge sinners in hell. And everyone who will believe upon you, everyone who will rely upon you, everyone who believes that you died for their sins, everyone who will call upon you to be their Savior, I'll forgive their sins and give them everlasting life. And my dear friends, Jesus arose from the dead. And according to the Bible, every person here is going to be raised from the dead. The saved will be raised to live with Him in heaven forever and ever. The unsaved will be raised to stand before the great white throne judgment, judged out of the books according to your life. And then because your name was not written in the book of life, because you never accepted Jesus as Savior, you'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. Now listen to me and I'm through. We've got a choice to make. You see, God's already decided He wants us to be saved. That does not automatically give you a pass to heaven. God has set up His plan so that you must decide to believe Him, to trust Him. Why should God allow anybody into heaven that don't believe Him? Why should He allow anybody to go into heaven that does not take time to accept Him and love Him and thank Him for dying for their sins? And that's where we are today. God has provided a way for every one of us to be saved. But we as individuals must decide to believe God and accept Jesus as Savior. Now have you? Have you? There's not great confusion about where your future is. It's either in hell or in heaven. We know it's not in the grave. It's hell or heaven, depending on what you do about Jesus Christ. Have you accepted Him? Have you put your trust in Him? If not, why? Why would you say no? Why? Your being here today testifies that you believe that there is a God. Your being here today testifies that you believe there is a resurrection. And why don't you trust Jesus? And if you have trusted Him, why don't you live for Him? Why don't you make this a regular occasion whereby you worship Him and give testimony and show love and gratitude for Him dying for you? This morning you're going to have a chance to make a decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope you won't say no. God, who loved you and gave His Son for you, wants you to accept Him. Will you? Blessed Heavenly Father, that's our message.